Begin the current daf, Masech the Shabbos, daf Mem Ches. We begin on an alf. We begin with taste of maskot. It begins the words of the Gemara. The Zaysim Maski Havla, almonds are different because they increase a lot of heat. Taste comes to explain many different specific halachas relating to Hatmana on something that's Maisiv Havel. That is, the Brice had taught that if you have a pot that was insulated in a box, and I'll put that box on top of the refuse, the leftovers of alves. Now, the reason why is because the gefes of zesim is malahevel, it makes the increase of the heat go upwards, and it's going to heat the pot that's insulated in the box. So, says Taisis, and that's in contrast to the shumshum to the sesame seeds that the Gemara was talking about. Says Taisis, mekanyash lesa, from this Gemara, one should say it's forbidden, lanich gecholam tachas hagedera, to put coals beneath a pot that's insulated, even if you're going to put ashes on top of the coals, which generally that makes it permitted to do Shia, because that's included in the category known as Gufa Uketumum, that you covered it with ashes. No, Ein Lahatman Kedera Aleim. One should not insulate a pot on top of that blech fire, Shari Gehagachalam, Malin Hevelamalo, because still, even if you put something on top, like a blech, like the ashes, it's still going to have the heat going up on top. Come on, Gevashal Zaysim, just like the Gevashal Zaysim, what's beneath it, it's a Maisim Hevel, a covered fire is not any less than that. So it says Taisa, based on that, Vyesh Tema, so it's a wonder, Heichon, Matmin, Makir Shalom, how do we insulate our pots on top of our stove, Shikarin, Ashtero? Now, Vav Pisha Gervin, I said, oh, okay, we make sure we have a blech, we shovel out the coals, but who Maisim Hevel? It's still increasing heat, come on, Gevashal Zaysim, so therefore, why is that permitted, just like our Sugya? Maimari the Re says, we have to give an understanding to be able to maintain the common custom. And what's the reasoning? The Gabi Gefes, by the Gefes, the pulp, Ikla Mechesh, there's a concern, because there's another part to this prohibition. Because besides the fact that it's Meis of Hevel and the pot on top is insulated, but additionally, Shemayat Mekula B'teicha, part of that concern is that you might come to submerge and insulate that whole pot inside the pulp itself. So therefore, even when it's on top and it's Maisav Havel, it can be forbidden. But in our stoves, you can't put it into the stove. It doesn't have something to insulate it in. Therefore, it's not going to be forbidden, even though it's insulated on top of it and it's Maisav Havel. Boyd, additionally, says Taisus, there's another thing that the custom is. Yes, Sha'isim Chafir Gedeil. Now, those who make a large pit, what they do is they make a structure of bricks all around that pit, umumaten on the bottom, and they heat it up very, very much. And then they shovel out the coals, and then they insulate the pot over there over Shabbos. Now, Tais is bothered. Seemingly, this is insulating in something that increases heat. So it says, this is not the same thing as the prohibition of insulating something that increases heat, because deloy asru. Here it's not forbidden, because elikisha matmin, the only time it's prohibited is when you insulate umadbik sav hakadera, and this is important, you attach what you're insulating it, it's touching all around the pot, because what's the reason why we make hatmana b'dav meis vevel forbidden? It's all because of concern of remnants. Dumi the remnants has to be similar to when you're insulating in the ashes and the coals that's touching the pot all around. That's the problem. Avotaner or chafir, but if you're putting it into an oven or a pit, sheish aver bein hatfan sekeder. This is an important part where there's air between the walls of the pit and to the pot. In lesser yisim hashra, it's not going to be any more prohibited than shehiya of just leaving something on the fire. Avapisha kol hakeder is betechataner. Even though the whole pot is inside the oven, still, it's not any more than Shehiyah, and therefore it's going to be permitted as long as we do Gufa Ketumah, and because it's not considered as the Halacha of Hatmana. Now, another interpretation for the first part Taisa was talking about, regarding how do we do with our custom, why isn't the problem of Hatmana on top of something that's Mois of Hevel? So Rebbein Baruch Parish, he actually gives a different interpretation. He says, Yesh L'chalak, you could differentiate between Teisefes Hevel the Gefes, between the increase of heat from the pulp of the olives, L'Teisefes Hevel the Kir Shalanum, to the fact that we have our pots totally wrapped on top of our coals. There's a difference between our stoves and the increase of heat with the pulp beneath it. Why? Afish Akir, by the stove, the whole heat of the stove is, the stove itself is not a hot thing. It's the fire that's fueling the stove. So therefore, once you shovel out the coals, so actually it continues to get colder and colder. So although right now it might be increasing heat, but it's ultimately getting less and less. I'm like, yeah, but the pulp, it increases heat from its own self, not something else that's heating it. And therefore, there it's prohibited in contrast to over here. Just like we find the chumshimin, let's say, is not forbidden. So to our stoves. Now, related halacha, that's going to come back related. I'm Rabbeinu Shmuel. The Rabbeinu Shmuel says, the mutu losum tapuchim, you're allowed to put apples, eight sola esh, near the fire, samach lichashecha, right before it gets dark Friday night. Now, ava pishlo yuchulitzes menboidoyim, although it cannot be roasted from before Shabbos, and we know the halacha is if something's not cooked to Michael Ben Drusoy, you're not leaving near the fire. Oh, so is Rabbeinu Shmuel still here? It's going to be permitted. Why? Because the nechalim tfei k'mayishin chayin. Because actually, apples are eaten more when they're raw. Mitavshol shenis basha k'maycha ben desoy, more than a dish, like a piece of meat that's cooked, like the maycha ben desoy, like a third cooked deshari. Where there, it's permitted to leave it there, and we're not concerned the mechad b'kacham to make it go quicker because it's edible anyway. A raw apple is if not more edible than that, and therefore, just like they were not concerned for shemichat, so too here. Now. But he's bothered with a question, because va'avagav the parakama tznan. Although in the first paragraph of the Testament base, the Mishnah taught, ein tzaylin, not let a roast, basar, meat, betzal, onion, ubey an egg, elikadeshet tzal mevoydoyim, unless it's roasted, at least what's considered Michael ben Drusoy, from when it's still daytime. Although there are also people that eat raw onions, why is apple any different than the onion? Says Tyson, I'm still in a raw lechachai k'may tapuchim. Although people will eat a raw onion, it's not considered as edible as an apple. And b'reitz lahavik harifas, and people want to take away the sharpness ulamatka mebishule and sweeten it with the cooking. And if it's not cooked k'maychem ben desoy, yes, there we would be concerned that you might be mechatem. Now, but Tyson points out then hitman tapuchim im hakader. But a different case Tyson discusses. If let's say someone insulates the apple with the pot, then osu lahavzer. Karm b'ksasas ala kaderishimon. Then you now put back the blankets and the pillows on the pot that's with them. Or to add on to the pillows, as Tosafot points out, avagav dim ein sham tapuchim mutal hachzer. Although if let's say there weren't the apples with the pot, it actually would be permitted to put back this pillows and these blankets. Kanam pirkin, like the Gemara later on, the Perek of Nanav Manav says that kisov in his galim. Let's say it was covered, then you got uncovered. That mutlaka says you let it go back and recover it. And so to lohisav nami, so to add on coverings. I mean, the Gemara there says later on, the bolohisav mitzvah, if you want to add on, you let it add on. But that's what Tosafot says, kishyesha makadir tapuchim, but if with the pot there's also apples, then it's also it's forbidden. Why? Because the machzor comes in this basha, because if you end up putting back the coverings before the apple gets cooked, so the pot is cooked, it's just a question about regarding the insulating. But here regarding the raw apple, although that's what he said regarding leaving it from before Shabbos for Shehi, we're not concerned. But regarding the halacha of cooking, nimtzeh mevashel b'Shabbos, comes that you were cooking the apple on Shabbos because you made the heat go quicker. And it's not just a problem about like Shehi and Chazar and Atmana. This is not just the rabbinic law. This is the issur d'oraisa bishul on the apple. Now, it says Taisis, umash nagu lahasar gedir me'al akira. This that the custom is, to remove the pot from the fire, umanichan al karka, and you put it on the ground achiyigrifah hakira until you shovel out all the coals from the oven to get all the coals out. The problem is, our Gemara says that you don't put back a pot on Shabbos until if it was already put on the ground, because then you lose the original shia and then it's forbidden. Maybe our custom is like that version in the beginning of Parakir and the Vlam Chesma Beis, that actually the Shar Chizkim is made Abaya, that actually Chizkim permits the name of Abaya, even Hanichal Gabakar, even if you put it on the ground, as long as the date lives, as long as your intention was to put it back, therefore our custom is to, put it down, as long as your intention was to put it back on the fire. So this is proof from our Gemara over here that you're not allowed to insulate a pot that's on top of a coals, just like the Gemara said, you're not allowed to put the pot that's insulated on top of the Gevashal Zaysim. But then Tais says, what's with our custom that we actually do insulate a pot on a shoveled out stove if it's Maizim Hevel? Tais says that no, the whole Isser is only when it's on top of, let's say, Gefes, because there's additional concern that you might come to insulate in the Gefes itself, which you don't have the concern when it's on top of a stove or a gaz range, whatever it is. Now, Rabbeinu Baruch gives a different answer. He says that the problem is only on top of the Gevashal Zaysim that you now do Atmana, because the heat is coming from the pulp itself, and that keeps on increasing. Contrast by the stove, it keeps on diminishing because the fire was already shoveled out. Additionally, Tosafot brings a custom that people would make a pit, and they would surround it with with bricks, and they would keep the pot inside over there and insulate over there, even though it increases heat. Says Tosfos, the reason why it's permitted is because that's not really called atmana, because since those things are not attached to the pot and there's a air space between the bricks and the pot, so therefore it's permitted. Additionally, Tosfos says that one is permitted to put apples near the fire, even though it's not cooked a mechel ben desai, because since it's edible, it's not any less than mechel ben desai, and therefore not concerned shem yichata. I by betzal, an onion is different because of the sharpness that you might come to mechata. Then Tosfos says, if you insulate the apples with a pot, so you don't just put it by the fire, you're insulating, then you now put back the coverings on Shabbos, because then you're going to be cooking the apples. And what's with the custom that people put the pot down and put it back on the fire? So Tosfos must be because they hold like Chizkiya, that the permissibility of Chazar is even to put on the ground as long as your intention was to put it back on. Now, continuing next taste of Maschlis begins with the words of the Gemara. Why is it different than from one kettle on top of another kettle? Which Taisa first comes to explain what was their actual story, and then what's the understanding of Rabba. And then the Gemara brought the Rabba and Zera, they went to the house of Resh Kalusa, and they saw the servant that he put a pitcher of water on top of a hot water kettle. The Rabba warned them not to do that. Zera says, why is it different than the halacha that you're allowed to put one kettle on top of another kettle? So Rabba says, oh, you'll see, and that was the halacha that we differentiate between the two cases. Now, Bakash Lari, the Ri is bothered. The Braisa Gufa, what do you mean? That Braisa itself, that Reb Zeir was quoting, the Shari Mechem Agabi Mechem, Besay Pirkin that you'll have to put one kettle on top of another kettle, Ketani Behedi, the Braisa explicitly says, V'loi Bishvil Sheichamu, that's not to heat up the upper kettle, El Bishvil Sheim Shemarin, only that the upper hot kettle that's already warm, that you should be able to maintain it to stay warm. But to heat up the upper kettle if it was cold water would be forbidden. So what's Abzera asking? I, you see, Mechem Agabe Mechem is permitted. What do you mean that whole Mechem Agabe Mechem was not cold on top of hot? It was hot on top of hot. So what's he asking? So Memory the Reed says that actually the Braisa Lishmile. Abzera never heard this Braisa. But let me carry Braisa Parach. He wasn't asking from that Braisa, because you're right, that Braisa says explicitly it's not cold on top of hot. Elam Amaisim Bechol Yoim. Abzera was asking from what people do all every Shabbos. That they put one kettle on top of another kettle, and that's what he's asking. So you see, that's permitted to be done. And that Rebbe says, no, what people do is they only put a hot one to maintain the heat, but not to make a cold one into hot. That's going to be forbidden. Now, it's a wonder. Because ultimately, what was exactly this case? If this, that he wanted to put on the kettle, this servant, was that it was Yatzel Edisboy that was boiling, so how could Reb Zeir have thought to say that's permitted for him to do it? Afa pishem avashal, even though it cooks. What do you mean? Milo yada to talada sa'arkor. Doesn't he know? What was he having? What was he thinking that you could put this cold pitcher on top of a hot kettle if it's going to cook? Because it's yatzeledes boy, it's at the boiling point. Doesn't he know that even though it's not a fire itself, but something that's a derivative of fire has a halacha like fire itself? It's not like we learn the Mishnah Daflam Chesam Beis. Ain noisin beyeh b'tzara mechim. And I'll put an egg near a hot water kettle. V'amen, the Gemara says over the Im Gilgal, if it gets slightly roasted, chayev chatzis, chayev chatzis. So doesn't he know that? And b'tzana nami, so we learn the Mishnah Daflam Malv Manalv, ha-mechim shepino, if a kettle was removed from the stove, lo-yitin lo-techa tain, not put cold water into it because it's going to get cooked. So although it's not the fire itself, but we see that talad the sa'ur is like the ur. So that's difficult if the lower kettle was boiling, because that would be obvious would be forbidden. Now v'ila hafshir, and if what the servant only wanted to do was to warm up the water, not to cook it, so then the question actually goes the other way. Hey chamasik da aser, how does the Gemara, how does Rabbah conclude that no, that's forbidden? But v'tanya b'perikir, but the Braisa teaches in daf mem amabeis neisin adam kitin shalmaim kineged amadura. A person's allowed to put a pitcher of water opposite a fire. Now, lebishvul sheichamu, not that it should get heated up to get cooked, lebishvul shetovik tenasin, just that it should remove some of the chill. V'ainu hafshir, and that is what's called just warming it up, k'demuchas sugid hasan, like it's obvious from the Gemara over there. And Rabbi Yehuda namikam hasan, Rabbi Yehuda also says over there, he says, echad mayim mechad shemen, whether water, whether oil, yatzeled this boy, if it's going to make it boil, so then also that's forbidden. Ein yatzeled this boy, if it's not going to make it boil, so it's mutter, it's permitted. So then why, if we're told matzla hafshir, to just warm it up, why did Rabbi say it's forbidden? So says Tosfos in Lechalek, and don't differentiate and say, oh no, the Gabi Madura, what am I bringing a riot from the fire? No, there the reason why it's permitted because he's harshly a vashel. The person's going to be careful that it shouldn't get cooked. Kimishu Eitz La'esh, because near the fire. So therefore we permitted you to just warm it up. Aval hach over here, maybe afel ein yatzaledes bayasu. Yeah, Rabbi was saying even if it's not going to get the boiling, it's going to be forbidden. Because maybe a person might come to make a mistake. And he's going to leave until it gets cooked, and that's why he says forbidden. Says Taisus, no, you can't say that either, because the gabi mechim, because by the halacha of the kettle that was taken off from the stove, Sharina, the Gemara permits losses l'toicha mayim merubim. You're allowed to put in a lot of water. Okay, they'll have shirin just to warm it up, because when you put in so much water, it's not going to get cooked. It's just going to get warm. And what do you see from there? V'loigas during the atamai matma. We don't make a gzera and say, oh, we're not going to let you because you might come to put in a small amount of water. And that's afa pisha in the etzalation, though it's not near the fire. So you see that even by a kettle, which is not in the fire, you're allowed to put in a lot of water that's just going to warm it up. And we don't make a gzera to say, oh, that you might come to leave it, to put in a little amount of water. And same thing over here, that you're not going to come to leave it to yatzaledes. Then the question comes back. So either way you look at it, well, how do we understand this? If the mechem was yatzaledes, but how do we understand the gzera that it's going to say it's permitted? And therefore, could they lahavshir? How do we understand Rabbi that says it's forbidden? So vanilla Rashba, it appears to the Rashba that truthfully the servant wanted to only warm up the water on top of the hot kettle. It wasn't going to be yatzaledes, but still Rabbi says it's going to be forbidden because of a concern that you might come to leave it and it's going to get heated up. But didn't we say that you're allowed to leave the flask of water opposite the fire? Explains the Rashba behind the barachik min amadura. That's only talking about where it's far away from the fire. It's not that you're not coming to do it for bishul. It will never come to be bishul. That's where we said you're allowed to warm it up. A bukar, but it's nearby. Then yes, asafil lahavshir, you're not allowed to even just warm it up because dilma mishli, you might forget. Leave it there until it gets cooked. That's how our Gemara concludes. That's forbidden. And based on this that it that you're allowed to put a flask of water opposite the Madura, when it says v'loy b'shvil sheicham adiktoni hasim, this that says over there that and not because that it should get heated up, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to leave it there in the place if your intention is only to warm it up. I know what it means to say is b'makim sheyachol l'b'dei sheichamu. You can't leave it in a place that it could come to get heated up. And yes, in such a place, you're not allowed to even put it, even if you just want to warm it up, which is just hafshara, just to warm it up. But says, but the wording is a little bit difficult to explain the b'raisa like this, that in a place where it could come to get heated up, then you're not allowed to leave it there, even if you just want to warm it up. Because rather, the wording sounds like that even the place where it could come to get heated up, you're allowed to put it there if your intention is not to heat it up, but just to warm it up. So Tesis understood originally that Bzeira knew the Braisa that, as he seems to be referring to, that you're allowed to put the Mechem on top of the Mechem. And that Tesis asks, what do you mean? But the Braisa itself says that you're only allowed to do it if it's to maintain, not to heat it up. So Tesis, no, Bzeira wasn't coming from the Braisa. He didn't know the Braisa. He was asking that you see people always put one on top of another. And that he says that, no, that was only to maintain, not to heat up the upper one. Then Tesis asks, he says, how do you understand this story? If the servant wanted to heat up the water, so what was the svar of Reb Zeira to say it's going to be permitted? Everyone knows talod or is like the or itself, and you're not allowed to cook. And if you only wanted to warm it up, why does Rabbi say it's asa? But the Raisa says that you're allowed to have the flask of water by the fire just to warm it up, and you're not concerned it's going to come to cook. So the Raisa answers that the servant wanted to warm up the water. But still, Rabbi says usr, because if it's in a place where it could come to cook, then we are geyser even just to warm it up so that it's not going to come to cook. And the whole reason why it was mutter by the madura, by the fire, is because it's far away in a place where it can't come to cook at all. The next taste, the master begins with the words of the Gemara, Maishno mi parenka, which taste comes to explain which halach is Reb Zeira referring to. Because the Gemara brought the story with the servant of the rich Galusa that he spread out a turban on the flask of water, and Rabbi said, no, you're not allowed to do that. And Zeira says, why is it forbidden? Why is it different than this garment, which is meant to spread out on the barrel, which you're allowed to spread out on Shabbos? So Perush Rabbeinu Chanan explains what's this referring to. The Amar Rav and Perek Tailin, it's a Gemara later on, Kofla Matesim Abbeis, says, hi, Peronka, this garment that's made to spread out on top of the barrel, Apaga the Kuba, is Shari, is permitted to spread out on Shabbos. Why? The Le'ava oil, it's not considered an oil. It's not making a structure. And additionally, and as we're asking from, we're not concerned that you're going to come to squeeze it out. Why is this any different? So on that, we continue the next taste of the Maschel, Hasam Le'i Kapit. Oh, there he's not bothered by it. That was Rabbi's response to Abzera. Says, no, there it's designated to be there. He knows it's going to get dirty and soiled. In contrast to the person's turban, he doesn't want it to get all wet. He's going to come to squeeze it out. So he says, Pirish Rabbeinu Tam and Perakam the Ksubas, Rabbeinu Tam in the first Perakam Ksubas, Avav Menav, he explains that over there, it's the top of a wine barrel, so it's going to get dirty. And even if you're going to squeeze it out, it's not going to be a problem about Malabin. Contrast over here, whereas with water, therefore it's going to be a problem about Tzchita, and that's why that's the difference between these two. The next text, the Master begins the words of the Gemara. What you think? Because it doesn't have a box of straw, etc. Which Tosfos comes to explain that why didn't the Gemara answer from a Mishnah that it's not sufficient with just insulating with one time? Which the Gemara, it's actually on the v'chulu on the etc. Which the Gemara had asked the question that regarding muchen, which is like something like cotton, like a soft rag, which they usually use to make felt out of it. So usually used for other purposes. But let's say someone once went and insulated with it. So the question is that considered like his designated fatmana, and then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos after that mana or not? So Tais says, Vim Taima. Tais has to take a second look. Because if you're going to say, Maikabayu, what's really the Gemara's question? Hatznan b'masnit, we learned the Mishnah later on the next daf of Mem Testament Aleph, Taimnin b'gizei tzemer. You're allowed to insulate in shearings of wool, v'im etaltin leisan, and you're not allowed to move it. Now, says Tosfos, "V'hainah filo tama," and that's even if you had an insulated in it. Why? How do we know this? The Hotik Tana Behedya, because the Brisa explicitly says, "Ketzad Isa, what should you do if you insulated with it? Menaras akisa beneiflus. You shake away the covering, and then they're going to fall by themselves." So one thing we see that even after you already insulated with it, it's not enough to make it like as if it designated for atmana and still give me mukta. So if that's the case, you have a proof from a Mishnah. So instead of bringing a brisa that supports him, that it's not going to become designated after one time, let him bring a Mishnah, which is stronger than the brisa. And moreover, you cannot reject the proof of the Mishnah, like actually the Gemara rejects the proof of the brisa, because the Gemara says, no, this is the brisa says that you can't move the shearings of the wool. The brisa means to say that if you didn't insulate it, then you can't move it. But if you did, then maybe it would be considered designated. You can't move it. But from the Mishnah, you can't reject like that. Now, says Taisis, that molecular maybe you can't say that the reason they didn't bring a proof in the Mishnah was because the Masnidin Ikluk Mimishal Heftik. Because you could say, oh, the case of the Mishnah is talking about when it's designated for merchandise. Oh, so there it's totally set aside. And then, yeah, even if you did it Monday at once, it's not going to be permitted to move. And actually, could the Mukila come on Ravina, like Ravina explains like this later on, says Taisis, you can't say that. Because obviously our sugya does not hold like Ravina. How do we know that? From the fact that the Gemara doesn't explain the brisa that's brought to say it's forbidden to move the cotton after you're already insulated, to say Bishal Haftik, that's talking about that it's that designated for merchandise. So obviously we see that the Gemara doesn't hold to make such a differentiation between the shearings of wool of Haftik, of merchandise, and regular shearings of wool. So we're back to the question. So why didn't the Gemara prove from explicit Mishnah that you're not allowed to move the shearings of the wool even if you insulated them? So Patir 3, the re-answers, he says, no. The reason why it's not arrived from that Mishnah is because the Gizei Tzemer, there's too much shearings of wool, that's Chashivi Tvei Memuchen. That's considered more significant than flockings, than stuffings. Vasrum L'Taltli Yaiser. And it's forbidden to move it more, and that you could say even after you insulated once already, because it's very chashiv. And there it's not bottle. In contrast to what we're discussing of muchen, maybe that actually it would become mutter after one time of insulating. Now, as Taisa is bothered, Vavak of the Rava Kam Lakaman, the Lord Rava says later on, Afila Gizei Tzemer, he says that even shearings of wool, Taman Behan, if you insulate it with one time, you actually could move it because you designate Fatmanon. Seemingly it's not like a bayah over here. Why didn't the Gemara mention that Rava disagrees with the bayah? Says Taisis, "Ain lochach e pliga by dach." We don't have to be concerned if Rava over there is disagreeing with a bayah over here who says you cannot move it after insulating one time. Kimendolei kaimel, come on, milsid the Rava, because anyways it doesn't stand the test that statement of Rava. The Gemara rejects that interpretation of Rava, so we don't have to say that Rava is not like a bayah over here. But says Taisis, and ulamai de mishana Ravina milsid Rava, and even according to what Ravina actually ends up resolving the interpretation of Rava, that actually it is sufficient with one time of insulating to permit to move the shearings of the wool, because a Mukam Asnin explains the mission that actually says that's not sufficient to be able to say it's not Mukas anymore by insulating with one time. He says that's talking about Bishal Haftik, like we just mentioned before. He says that shearings of wool designated for merchandise. And there, yes, it wouldn't be enough just insulating one time. You have to explicitly say that you're making it for insulating purposes. And the Rav B'Shein Shal Heftik, but whereas the Halach of Rav was talking about that's sufficient with one time because it's not that of merchandise, still, Omer Rashba, the Rashba says, it's still not difficult why we're not mentioning Rav, even though he's not ultimately rejected. It's because actually, the Hachin Nami Ma'irib Moichin Shal Heftik. You could say that here also Abai is talking about also Moichin of that of Heftik, that of merchandise. And therefore, V'lei Peligid the Rav Adabai. Therefore, Rav is not disagreeing with Abai, because actually, according to both of them, you don't need to designate explicitly by the shearings of wool or by the Moichin. It's actually sufficient with one-time insulating to make it not Mamukz anymore. And therefore, you can move it. Except, which is what Abai is talking about over here, the shearings of wool of Heftik, which those are significant, and that's not enough to insulate it one time to be able to move it. But says Tesach, Ktas Kasha, but it's still a little bit difficult. Because if Abai is talking over here, the Meichin of Heftik, which are Chashuv, and therefore it's not sufficient with one time of insulating to be able to move it. So then when the Gemara asks that, if the Bryce is talking about that you didn't insulate with Meichin, what's the Bryce coming to tell us that you can't move it? But most definitely, if you never insulate it, then of course you can't move it. So what's the Gemara answering Ma'od de Tema? As Tay says, the Ma'i Mishani B'samach, what's the Gemara answering shortly on the Brisa? That Ma'od de Tema, what would you think to say? Chaz l'mizgalai, that you're able to recline on it. But the problem is, and that's why you would have thought to say that it's not Mukta, but even the Ma'i B'shal Heftik, even the time we're talking about here, that's that of merchandise. Hey, chazagadartik l'shar l'tata, how could you think to say it'd be permitted to move it? Mishram the chaz l'mizgalai, because you could recline on it. Most definitely, if it's a merchandise, you're particular about it, and Tay doesn't answer that question. So Taisa had a difficulty. Why doesn't the Gemara resolve the question over here from the Mishnah, which explicitly says that if you insulate in shearings of wool, you can't move it even after you insulated once before? And instead, the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the Braisa, which you could reject, and to say that it's talking about where you didn't insulate, but you can't reject from the Mishnah, so why not bring the raya from the Mishnah? And Taisa says, don't say that the Mishnah you could explain that's talking about by shearings of wool of Heftik, because our Sugya, anyways, doesn't hold with that differentiation, the fact that it doesn't explain that the Braisa is talking about that of Heftik. Which that would have answered the question from the Braisa too. So the Reis says that actually no, the Mishnah is talking about shearings of wool, which are more chashav than meichin, and therefore that wouldn't be approved to Abaya, who's talking about meichin. Maybe by meichin it would become batel after one time of batmano. Tesa writes that the Rava that says later on that even by shearings of wool you can move it, says we don't have to be concerned. Why didn't we say it over here that he disagrees with Abaya? Because either A, the Gemara ultimately rejects Rava there anyways later on, or even the Koran Dravin that actually. It resolves the interpretation of Rava that he's talking about shearings of wool that are not of Heftik, whereas the Mishnah is talking about Shal Heftik. Actually, we could say it doesn't disagree with Abaya, because Abaya was also talking about Shal Heftik, and that's why it doesn't help with insulating one time to make it non-mux anymore. But that's what Tesa ends off. But then it's difficult to the read based on that if Abaya is talking about Shal Heftik, so what was the Havmina to say that you could go ahead and lean on them, even though you didn't insulate with them? That's what you would have thought to say. What does that mean? If it's made for merchandise, of course you're not going to go ahead and use it for that. And Tesh does not answer that question. Next Tesh, the Master begins with the words of the Gemara, Hachakama. This is what we're saying. Imloy taman, if you didn't insulate it, then ema tatlos, and then you can't move them. Tesh can explain that that's actually only going in the case of Mochin, and not on the Gizei Tzemer. As the Gemara said, that this the Braisa says, that you could insulate with Gizei Tzemer, and with Mochin, etc., but you can't move them. Says the Gemara, what it means to say is that if you didn't insulate, then you can't move them. But if you did one time, then the Braisa not talking about could be, then you would be able to move it. Tais says, but this that sounds like from the Gemara that if you insulate it one time, you're allowed to move it. Says Tais is amuchin koi. It's only going on the cotton below gizit tzem, and not in the shearings of wool, because like we mentioned in the previous Tais, the gizit tzem, the shearings of wool are more chashuv, and therefore afil taman, even if you insulated, then ematali and allowed to move it. Because since you didn't explicitly designate it for insulating, you most definitely not be mevatlid to be able to move it because of one time of insulating. The next Tais, the Master begins the words of the Gemara. Habachadati, this is new. Habatiki, this is old. Which Tais explains based on this, the halacha of the string of the sweater, of the jacket, which if it came out of its place. Which the Gemara said that the cotton, the stuffing that was never in the pillow, you're not allowed to put it the first time in the pillow because that's making a kli. But if it was already there and it fell out, then you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos because you're not making a kli. So Amari, the Re says that the same thing would apply to a cloak called a sarvel, which has like a drawstring like that you knot it with. Shem nitku chute a sarvel, that if the string that you knot it with, that you close the hood or whatever it is, that if that comes out, So im hanekev rachav, if the hole is wide, v'yochalach nisim loyterech, and you can put in without any effort, so then shari, that's permitted, because kivin da'atiki, since it's old, in other words, since this was already in beforehand, and you're just putting it back in, so that's what we say here in our sugya, that's permitted. Bavachi yitna be'inyan zeh, but Tosfos says one stipulation, as long as you're putting it back in such a situation, shlo yeh locha shem yitka, that you don't have to be concerned that you might be pushing it in, meaning you might be doing it tight and strong, because the be'inyan shehu regilus l'tkayibu l'ikshur, because in such a situation where it's normal to go ahead and knot it and nail it in, near the astur la'atzah, then you're actually not allowed to put it back, in even if you're not going to knot it, because that's the norm to do it. Like the Gemara says, that it's forbidden later on, the Kavchobezim Abez, Hachzaris, and I'll put back the door of a sheet, a table, a migdal, so some type of a carriage, a box, or a cabinet, Yizereshim Yitka, because since the norm is to do that, to push it in tight, and that's going to be the Gemara Malacha, Megimi Makabe Patish, here also, and I'll put back the drawstring, if the norm is to put in tightly, then even if you're not going to, it would still be forbidden. So it's only permitted if it's easy, and it's already been there before, and it's not the norm to push it back in a way that it has to be knotted.